Did I get it?
Ooh.
There we go. I like to keep Ken on his toes up there. Oh, my. Now, I don't want to hear any of the audio from the masters coming from up in that area up there. They've teed off already. No? Okay, we're good. We're good. All right, you're going to need a writing utensil today. Hopefully you brought something. If not, you can borrow someone's next to you. I always make you do stuff, or I always bring, and I brought something with me too, but you're going to have to wait. Wait on that one. Been a busy week around here this week. If any of you stopped in the church this week, you heard grinding, and if you noticed all of the, what do they call that, tuck pointing or whatever that is, been going on around the church. And then the one day there was a group of strapping young men here taking out those bushes out there. It looks great. And but it's been a hopping place around here. We've had a good week this week. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13 in just a minute. And you have a little handout there that, has two columns on it. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But I want to start off, and if you want to look this up, it's Romans 13, 8 through 10. I'm just going to read it. We're not going to spend time on it, but I just want to use it as a little lead-in to where we're going to go today. If you want to just listen, this is a verse I find really intriguing. This is an interesting one to me. Romans 13, 8 through 10, it says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And what I want to grab onto here at the beginning is this phrase, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." That's interesting to me, that this is a debt that we have. I don't know what that means. I didn't spend a ton of time trying to get to what that might, what is involved with that. But I think that's an interesting phrase, and I want to run with that a little bit before we get to the main text, this idea of a debt to love. So here's what I want you to do with your writing utensil, is that on that paper that you've got there, I'd like you to make a list of people through proximity, through relationship, that you would probably have the most debt to love. I don't know if I'm using that phrase the best way, but we have this debt to love everybody. You know, the person I'm standing in line at the convenience store behind, I have a debt to love, but it's going to more impact my relationship with my wife or my children. You follow me on that? So who are the people due to relationship or proximity that this is going to impact the most, this idea of a debt to love? What am I not explaining well? Is this make sense? So it's probably going to be like a spouse, child, grandchild, co-workers for me. I might put my neighbor, the person that works for me, the person that, if you have a boss, that would be your boss. Am I explaining this well? Okay, three of you got it. Should I go through it? Josiah's got it. So here's what I want you to do. Take 1 minute and you can even be thinking about it as I keep rambling on here. Shoot for like 10 names. Can you come up with 10 to 12 names of people that due to relationship or proximity, I don't have a relationship with my neighbor other than the fact that he lives next door. So jot some names down here. Because we're going to use this. I'm going to beat you over the head with this list here in a minute. And you're going to wish shorter list, but I'm not really going to do that. But as you're working on your list, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. I'm going to read it from the NIV or the NLT. And then we've got the Amplified version next to it. So you have your little page that looks like this one here. this is a scripture that there's a lot of meat in this. And so I wanted you to see another version alongside this. So the NLT is on the next, on the left, and then the next to that is the Amplified. So you getting your list here? How are we doing? Doing good? Give me a head nod. Yes, I got to know you're with me this way. There we go. Okay, good. All right, you're with me. All right, so let's go through this. Starting in verse 4, and I'm reading the version from the left on the paper, the handout you've got there. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, hopes, always perseveres. And so you see on the right, phrases. If you're not familiar with the Amplified Version, I really like the Amplified Version because it gives a little more fuller meaning and context to the scripture. So that's why I put that on there, because the words in the original language don't always translate well into English. And so that's why Amplified Version can be helpful. So I want you to keep that list of people in front of you, and I want to walk through these phrases. So let's start with the very first one, verse 4, and I'm going to refer to this Amplified Version. Love endures with patience and serenity. Okay, you got your list there. Love endures with patience. Now, I want to give you some definitions. To endure means to suffer something painful or difficult with patience. Now, no one please mention their spouse by name at this point. But I'm going to guess there are days that we get to this first phrase and we're out at that point. You know what I mean? I'm already done. I can already mark off that I've blown it. We haven't even gotten the first sentence yet. Love endures. So let me define patience. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay without getting angry or upset. Has anyone already lost that battle today? Anybody with me here? Now, I didn't have you put enemies on the list. This is just the people that we love. You know, these are the ones that are the closest to us. So, okay, to endure with patience. I came across this quote. I thought it was interesting. Patience is not the ability to wait, but what you do while you're waiting. Now, I can wait for you, but you don't want to hear what I'm muttering under my breath or what I'm thinking in the back of my mind while I'm waiting. You know what I mean on that? And so this is tough. I mean, this list, it starts out difficult. Love is not in a hurry or in a rush. And how about this? When someone is impatient with you, I think this would kind of, looking at the other side, would prove the point. How does it make you feel when someone is impatient with you? You know, I'm guilty of this. By the way, my family is right up here in the front row. They can attest to this one of times I fall short of this one. You know, when someone's impatient with us, when I'm impatient with someone, that doesn't make them feel very good. Obviously, this is not love. So, all right, first phrase, love endures with patience and serenity. So get out your list. Who on that list is it most difficult? And please don't mention them by name. But who on that list is most difficult to be patient with? You know, it probably, especially if you listed many family members, you may have, that may be hard. Okay, how about this? Love is kind and thoughtful. Very simply, to be kind. You know, taking a look at that list again. Are there people on that list that take you for granted? Are there people on that list that do not respect your boundaries? Family members that do not show you the same kind of attitude towards you? How about love is not jealous or envious? In the original language, the word that we get jealous from means to burn with zeal, to be heated, or to boil with envy, hatred, or anger. So hopefully, you know, that's kind of an obvious one there. Love does not brag. Love does not boast. To boast is to talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. And I think the important thing about boasting is that the different, like, I get excited. We all get excited about things. We want to tell people about, hey, this happened. I got a new job. I got, you know, whatever. But there's something about boasting when the product of it becomes exclusionary. Boasting is something that separates me from you and most likely makes you or me feel bad because of what you're, the way that you're, that, or I am talking about this. How about this one? Love is not proud or arrogant. And this is a word picture that we get in this, in the original language. The word that we get proud from literally means to blow up or to puff up. And the word picture is a balloon. Like, to be proud is to self-inflate yourself. And so, again, get that list out. Take a look at the list. Are there people on that list that maybe, and I mean, if my list was here, I would tell you yes. There are people at times that are on that list that I feel proud, you know, that maybe they could make some better decisions in their life if they would only do this. And sometimes some pride or self-righteousness or whatever that may be begins to sneak in. The next phrase there, love is not rude, to behave in an unseemly way, to be disorderly. I'm guessing that's probably not a big issue a lot, but bears mentioning. The next one, love is not self-seeking, to diligently seek something for myself. And I think this is one that, in my experience, that we struggle with in the church, because what does it mean to love well but to still have boundaries? You know, has anyone ever had a family member take advantage of them? You know, have you ever had that experience before? What does it mean to love somebody but to still respect? This is a boundary here. You're not allowed to cross that boundary. And so how do we love in a way that respects our boundaries but still loves well? Love is not provoked, or love, it could also be translated, love is not overly sensitive. Love is not easily angered. Love does not get frustrated. Love is not moody. Love is not passive aggressive. There's a lot of ways that we can look at that one. And I think that's one that's a challenge. Again, you know, people that are on that list for me that I would really feel challenged by, to not get angry, to not lose my patience, to not get frustrated by, again, you know, looking at that list, who are those people that would trigger that in you? Love does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things. To accept or allow myself to be subjected to something. Love believes all things. Let's see here. Love hopes all things. Here's an interesting quote. I like this quote. I've used this a number of times. This is from Noam Chomsky, if you happen to know who Noam Chomsky. It says, if you assume that there is no hope, you guarantee that there will be no hope. If you assume that there's an instinct for freedom, that there are opportunities to change things, and there's a possibility you can contribute to making a better world. Hope is probably one thing that we underestimate the power of in the world around us. That the act of having hope positions people for change. And when I have hope for those people that are on that list, I can help position them for change. I think that's an important one. So that was love hopes all things. Let's see, we're getting towards the end of our list here. Endures all things. I think generally speaking, love seeks to bless. And so again, so we get this phrase, which applies certainly to people around us, to continue to live out this debt of love. Now, there's a reason why I'm going through all this, and it's not to make you feel bad about yourself, because sometimes we don't love very well. We're human, obviously. We struggle with love. The reality is that, you know, I can tell you love better. You can tell me to love better. But that's hard. It's hard. It requires transformation. That's why we invest in our own discipleship and position ourselves to be changed and transformed by the Spirit. But here's why I wanted to go through that big list, have you make the list and then go through these list of phrases, is not because I wanted us to look at when we don't love well, but because I wanted to stop and for us to take a moment that when somebody loves us well, it's special. You know, I can look at that list and see all the times this past week that I blew it on those things. But when we are loved well, that's a big deal. And when we have those relationships and we have those experiences, those are significant. One thing we talk about in our ministry over and over again, it's those experiences of love that change us. That's what transforms us. In the place that I like to go back to with this, coming back to this 1 Corinthians chapter 4, is a progression. So let me lay this progression on you here, and hopefully I'll explain this well and you follow it. If God is love, and God is unchanging, and 1 Corinthians 13:4 is a definition of love, then wouldn't 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, wouldn't that be a description of God and the way that he relates to us? Do you follow the logic on that? I mean, that's a fair assessment. Can I make that jump? Okay. We're talking about love generically, but I can make that jump. And could this passage be like a lens that we look through in how God relates to us? So here's what I'd like to do. I want to pick some of these apart a little bit more, but I want to turn it a little bit and not look at how many times I have not been patient with my wife or my children or my neighbor or my boss or whoever it is, but to turn these phrases around and say, okay, verse 4, God is patient. I just want you to just hear that phrase. God is patient. Now, it's true that, you know, sometimes we've had authority figures in our lives that weren't patient, and that kind of skews things with God. Our image of our father or that pastor or the teacher, whoever, can translate into our image of God. But I just like that phrase. God is patient. A verse that came to mind was Romans 10:21. Paul is writing here, and he says, but regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they kept disobeying me and arguing with me. I love that phrase, all day long. It's an expression of God's patience. You know, yes, they kept the nation of Israel. I mean, we see this throughout the Old Testament. But what we also see is the patience of God. All day long, I kept my arms open to them. God is patient. How about this one? God is not easily angered. Again, just hear that phrase. There's times I felt like, you know, God's just ready to strike me down. You know, he's going to get frustrated with me. Surely I'm not moving fast enough on the journey. God is not easily angered. Scripture that came to mind for me. I like the story of Jonah. I don't really understand the story of Jonah. But you remember, God calls, if you're familiar with the story, God calls Jonah, and where is he supposed to go? Do you remember? Nineveh. And what does he do? He goes the other way. Now, do you remember why did Jonah go the other way? I'm going to give you the answer here, so feel free. I'll read you the text here. Jonah goes the other way because he knows that God's going to be gracious. Chapter 4, the whole chapter, but essentially starting in verse 2. O Lord, is not this what I said? I know that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. God is not easily angered. Again, Maybe that person, authority figure in my life was, and I translated that to God. But God's not easily angered. He is patient. How about one more? God keeps no record of wrongs. God keeps no record of wrongs. I do. I can keep, you know, I keep the score for me. I keep the score for the people I'm in a relationship with. Well, I did this. Sometimes we'll joke about, my wife and I will joke about, well, who got up with the kids? You know, well, I did this many days, you did this many days, or who did, you know, whatever. But, you know, that can get into your relationship where I'm keeping score, not in a joking way, but in a real way. Well, you know, you need to pick up the pace a little bit here. God keeps no record of wrongs. Two verses that came to mind for this. I just love these. Micah 7:19, you will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depth of the sea. They're gone. Hurl our iniquities, our sins, our wrongs into the depths of the sea. I'm going to guess the image that's there, that's because the prophet, that's the place that he could think that was the furthest away, the depths of the sea. No one could get to the depths of the sea. Also, Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. What a great phrase. God speaking, I do not remember your sins. God keeps no record of wrongs. So I start out with trying to illustrate for us how hard it is to love well and how special it is when we are loved well. And here's what we see is an image of God in that place. So what I'd like to do for the little prayer reflection time at the end, Bob's going to help me get this set up. I've got a picture I'd like to share with you, and I want to do a little reading and reflection. With me for 1 minute here. I would like to reread 1 Corinthians 13 and read it a little differently this time. God is patient. God is kind. God is not jealous or boastful. God is not proud. God is not rude. God does not demand his own way. God is not irritable. Or God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of being wronged. God does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God never gives up, never loses faith. God is always hopeful. And God endures through every circumstance. Let's pray. Lord, my prayer for us is is that we could experience you in this way, this beautiful picture here of being held, of being nurtured. Jesus, my prayer for us would be that we would experience your patience. That we would experience your kindness. That we would experience you as one who is not easily angered. Play for another minute or so, and if you'd like to look at the picture and think about God's love, then I'll close us in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And again, may we experience it today. In Jesus' name.